Lord Jesus Christ be with you all as we gather this Lord's Day. I want to take a moment just for you to note the order of worship for the morning. There are some changes in our regular routine, but this is not a regular Sunday. This is September 11th, the 10th anniversary of September 11th, 2001. It is also a special service of legacy and memory for the Rosa Scott class. And it's also a special service for our second graders who are receiving their Bibles this morning. So a lot is going on in the worship service this morning. Please note there are a couple places for you to participate. There is a Gloria that we will be singing as the congregation in the final response. There's an insert in the bulletin. Please note that we join together as a congregation on the last refrain, and you find that in the insert in the bulletin. And it's following the assurance of pardon. It is hard to capture the drama in worship of both the way our lives are turned upside down by the events of our life, but also the peace that we have from God. But I invite you to take particular note of the offertory anthem, which captures both of those, how our life is turned upside down and how there's the peace of God in it. So again, please take note of the worship note about the offertory anthem, the song that will be done then. I invite you now to prepare your hearts for worship with the tolling of bells and then a song of peace. And I invite you to stay seated for the solemn procession of the elements of the sanctuary this morning.
Our first scripture of the morning will be read by William Wilson.
Let us hear God's word from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Bless us the reading and understanding of God's word.
As those prepared to pray, let us stand and pray. Those who are able, let us stand and pray together the corporate prayer of confession. Let us pray. Faithful God, you call us to paths unknown, inviting us to trust your Spirit's leading, even where we cannot see the destination. Countless generations have borne witness that you keep your promises, yet we shirk from your calling, trusting more in our own limited wisdom than in your boundless faithfulness. Forgive our unbelief in your promises. Give us a willing heart to follow your call wherever it leads. Grant that we be counted among the faithful, ever testifying of your rich goodness to all who trust you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thank you.
As we have gathered in this solemn procession, as we have gathered in prayer, now let us gather as the people of God who can share God's peace one with another. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us share words of peace one with another. Forward now for our time of presentation to our second graders for our their Bibles, and the children as well to come forward for our time with the children.
Good morning, everybody. I'm behind you today. Good morning. Okay, so something really special is happening today. Yeah. Hi. So, you are special. You're special every day. And fireflies and firefighters are special, too. So, today, we are celebrating those people who have moved into second grade because they're no longer down children's church with us. We want them to have their own Bible so they can follow along during church. And because, well, they're old enough to have a Bible, an adult Bible, a Bible. And they're getting these Bibles, which I'm going to tell you guys about them real quick. They're called Seek and Find Bibles. And they're written so it's really easy to understand. It's called Contemporary English Version. And at the beginning of each of the books, there's information about the book so everybody can learn when they're reading them. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read off the name, because inside it's written really nicely, and Dr. Pender is going to hand them to you. So when I say your name, I know you're going to not like this, but I want you to go stand up in front right here, okay? And if somebody's not here, we're going to read their name anyway. So is Jackson McCoy Freeman here? No, it's okay. But we will hold on his Bible and give it to him really soon. Emily Bell Whitfield. Is Emily here? Okay. I promise these are second graders in my church. Harold Hamilton Penoyer. Where are you, Harry? If you'll go right up front. Emily Marie Quick. Abigail Grace Bible. Abby's not here. Zoe Armis, are you here? Okay. Ethan Charles Payne. Allison Meredith Nolan, I know, is not here today, but we do have her Bible. And Harrison Candino is not here either. But so we want you guys to use these Bibles, bring them with you on Sundays, use them during the week, show them to your parents, and all of that wonderfulness, because Bibles are very important for us to read. Okay, are you guys all ready to pray with me?
Yeah.
Okay, let's bow our heads and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for Bibles. And bless those who got their Bibles today. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. If you're going to children's church, line up at the door. If you're in red robes, go sit in the first two pews. And parents, if you want to sit with your kids in the red robes, that's absolutely fine.
Our scripture for the morning comes from 2 Timothy. I'll be reading from the second chapter. I will read from the 11th verse through the 15th verse. It leads up to the 15th verse because that is the verse that is cited on the Rosa Scott window, which we are dedicating today. Listen now to the words of scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11, leading up to verse 15. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. And here is verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the novel Bright Lights, Big City, J. McInerney describes a young man who is riding on an uptown subway in New York City. His life is in ruins. It's a failed marriage, a faded career, a failed life that he's even thinking about putting an end to. But he's seated on the subway next to an Hasidic Jew reading the Talmud. I mean, here's someone straight out of the Old Testament, out of the past. Hasidic Jews are those folks who typically wear the simple black suit, the black hat or prayer cap, those curls that come down by their ears because they won't shave their hair there. The young man watches as they're rumbling along in the subway, and this fellow beside him is reading the Talmud. It looks like, to him, gibberish, like the graffiti on the wall, but he's reading it right to left, the Hebrew in the Talmud. He's oblivious to all that's going around. And so the young man wonders to himself, he wonders, this man has a God and a history and a community. He has a perfect economy in which pain and loss are explained in terms of a transcendental balance sheet in which everything works out in the end and death does not really mean death. Wearing black wool all summer long must seem like a small price to pay. He believes he's one of God's chosen, whereas I feel like I'm just one number in a series of random numbers. But what a haircut. What a haircut. The young man's conclusion: no roots, no anchor, no community, no focus in his life. What a haircut. Now, I don't expect you to turn to your neighbor in the pew to check out their haircut. Some of us have less need for haircuts than we did before, and we hold dearly those words of Jesus that God counts every hair on our head, and they're numbered. But what I do expect is that we reflect on how this Hasidic Jew found that the words on the page mattered. In all the midst of the distractions, he reads his Talmud. He has a God, a history, and a community. And just like him, we have a God, a history, and a community. We are people of the book. Words matter. That's what our text is about this morning from 2 Timothy, where the pastoral advice is, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. The King James Version of this text is what is on the window. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the text on the Rosa Scott window that we are dedicating today. That window that has the open Bible in the center of it, and a few roses laid across it. However, being a person for whom words matter, I must confess a bit of puzzlement about the difference between the New Revised Standard Version and the King James Version. The New Revised Standard Version, which I read, says, do your best to show yourself approved by God. I understand that. The King James Version says, study. Study to show yourself approved by God. I mean, they're both good. Do your best and study. I just wouldn't have thought they were synonyms for each other. And so some research was needed. The modern translations are right. The root word means to be in a hurry, to hasten, and the metaphorical meaning of it is to do your best, to be zealous, to get on with it. But why study in the King James Version? Why the word study? Well, it turns out in 16th century English, King James English, the word study was much closer to its Latin root. And its Latin root means to be eager. Study means to be eager. And even further, the Indo-European root of it means to hit. To apply significant force to. It gives more weight to that phrase, not derived from this, about hitting the books. Coincides rather well. Our Rosa Scott Winder, the meaning is clear. Apply extreme effort, study, to show yourself approved unto God. And the effort is rightly dividing, rightly explaining the word of truth. This morning's bulletin insert about the Rosa Scott Sunday School class will give you the background of this remarkable teacher and her legacy for a Bible class. And of course, the focal point of the window is this open Bible. And we now know that it means more than just pay passing attention. It means to be eager. It means to study. And as one person came out of the 845 service said, it means to be Bible thumpers. We hit it. Words matter. You know that. I know that. In my life, I have been given many things. And most of them I forget. But they are words. They are words that I will never forget, that I treasure. Sometimes they're enacted words. They're words that are put into action, like the communion table is an enacted word. It communicates. The baptismal font is an enacted word. It communicates. But words matter. And they matter the most. Let me illustrate. As the second child in the family, I remember that I carried that hypersensitivity that goes with having an older brother that seemed to get all the special family favors. Grandmother Pender only remembered my brother's birthday. He was the first grandchild. She didn't remember anybody else. But I remember so well when Aunt Mary Rogers said to me, "William, we want you to come to stay with us. Not just Robert, but William." A word. And then how special it was to say the word, "sweetheart," and have it returned with greater sweetness. And then how vital it was to coax the first words from my birth children. Parents are a bit loony about this. We just want to hear words from our children. And nothing, nothing can replace having a beautiful five-year-old child in an orphanage in Yekaterinburg, Russia, who spoke no English but communicated when she said, "Papa. Papa." And Yulia Rupsova came home to be Julia Pender at least for 13 more days when she becomes Julia Leonard. Words matter. We are a people of the book. We learn the language. We learn the stories. We learn these profound guides for our faith. Yes, we live in a day where biblical illiteracy is at its height, and we bemoan that. And we can do better, and we will. For there's a gift. There's a gift to be immersed in the words. Now, there's a caution here as well. In the midst of the gift, I need to remind you that our faith is not in the Bible. I must confess to some irritation sometimes when somebody says to me, "Are you a Bible-believing Christian?" And I want to think, well, are there Christians who are not Bible-believers? I mean, is there a difference between a Bible-believing Christian and a non-Bible-believing Christian? If I'm really irritated, I say, no. I believe in God. I believe in God. That's our primary trust. In the case of both Judaism and Christianity, the Bible is secondary. Faith is primary. Abraham and Sarah, the first people of God, you know that from the Bible. They didn't have a Bible. They had faith. Moses didn't have a Bible. Isaiah didn't have a Bible. Jeremiah didn't have a Bible. The first Christian missionaries couldn't open up their Bibles to John 3:16 and say, "For God so loved the world, it's written right here." They shared their faith. Even Paul, who used the Hebrew scriptures, used more than the scriptures. He used even just Jewish tradition in sharing the faith. The faith is primary. The Bible is secondary. But it is our conduit. It is our pathway. It is the means of progress in the faith, in the book. Think of it this way. The Polish-American scientist and philosopher Alfred Korzybski noted, "The map is not the territory. The map is not the territory." Sure, you could open up a map of Knoxville right here in this sanctuary. You could open it up, but that's not Knoxville. It's a guide. It'll be a help in our journeys. The map is not the territory. But what Rosa Scott knew, and what the many that journeyed with her and after her knew, is that we keep coming back to this book for inspiration, for challenge, for comfort. So no, the map is not territory. The devil can quote scripture just as well as the saint can. But what the saint knows is that the map will make the journey so much more productive, so much more satisfying, so much more fulfilling. And so this morning we brought the Bible down the aisle. We processed the book. There's a name for that role of processing the book. We didn't tell George Nicely this. He might not have done it if he knew the name. You're a beadle. B-E-A-D-L-E. You're a beadle when you safe keep the Bible, to guard it through the week and to have it ready for Sunday worship. You see, contrary to some of our beliefs, the most valuable item in this sanctuary is not the stained glass windows. It is the Bible. And the beadle's role was to safe keep it, to bring it in and out of worship. You may not realize it, but you actually have seen a beadle, perhaps if you've read Charles Dickens, Oliver Twist, or seen the musical Oliver. One of the characters is a beadle, Mr. Bumble. In that scene in Oliver where the little boy in the orphanage steps out of line and goes back and says, "Please, sir, could I have some more?" He addresses that to Mr. Bumble, a beadle. The scene, of course, leads into food, glorious food. But Mr. Bumble is an example of the church that knows to do the right thing, to have an orphanage, but it's lost the spirit of the compassionate service because there is no more food for orphans. Mr. Bumble is a poor model for being a beadle who hasn't studied or been eager to learn the words of 2 Timothy to approve himself by God, a good workman who rightly divides the word of truth. You know what Rosa Scott did every Sunday school class, and what those who followed her did as well? Is that they were beadles. People who safe keep the word. Not simply to have it here, yes, to bring it into worship, but not to leave that prized possession here, but to take it out, to hold on to it, to treasure it. And how grand this day, this morning, we could present Bibles to our second graders. Because these second graders, as well as all of us, will have opportunities of sharing our faith when someone will say to us, "More, please. More, please." And the faith we share is not just what we feel or think or have opinions about. We are a people of the book. We have a God, a history, and a community. And what a haircut. I suppose the real question today is whether we'll be a beadle like Rosa Scott or like Mr. Bumble. The King James Version renders 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let's keep hitting the book. I'm a beetle. You're a beetle. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you that in Jesus Christ the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of glory and truth. And we thank you, O God, for this scripture, this Bible that points us to that Word, that incarnate Word, that full and complete Word. Continue to help us, O God, to be a people of the book, with you, our God, with you in our history and legacy, and with you in our community. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I invite you now to join in the affirmation of faith found in the bulletin. Let us stand and affirm our faith. Jesus lived with a constant sense of his Father's presence. He put God's claim on his life above all else. He joined others in God's worship and praise. He drew strength from the scriptures. He prayed and taught his disciples to pray. We believe Christ gives us and demands of us personal lives that are centered in God and open to God's reality and rule. Christ teaches us to put obedience to God above the interest of self, family, race, or nation, to offer God joyously our money, ability, and time. It is part of our discipline to observe a day of worship and rest, setting aside our own working to enjoy God's work, celebrating with sisters and brothers the Lord's goodness. We need constantly to search out God's way in Scripture, not expecting detailed directions for every decision, but relying on the Word to tell us who God is, to press God's present claim on us, and to assure us of God's grace and comfort. I invite you to take the friendship register in the pews and to pass it along to those who are sitting beside you. As you pass that along, as our visitors and members sign it as well, I invite you to take note of the life of the church as indicated in our Turnip Patch Times. Next Sunday, we will give an opportunity for those who are doing the volunteer ministry walk run on September the 24th that morning. They're going to be in the sanctuary at the benediction, and if you would like to give them some encouragement to walk or run, it comes in a monetary form. I have 23 of my family who are here for the wedding, and we're going to run in the morning for the volunteer ministry walk or run, and I'm going to walk down that aisle at 3 o'clock. I hope that you will be supportive of our church members and those participating in the volunteer ministry walk-run. That'll be Saturday week. Next Saturday, we break ground with our brothers and sisters of First Baptist Church in our Habitat House. We have many folks signed up for next Saturday, and there'll be opportunities to sign up for further Saturdays. What happens in this kind of event, everybody shows up for the beginning. But we need folks to keep on signing up and participating. And you can go to our website or call the church office, and we'll let you know how to sign up as well. Finally, you're going to think I have a one-track mind, but it's a wedding coming up. On Wednesday at 7:30, we're going to have a dance rehearsal. Yes. We're going to do some line dancing at 7:30 following Worshipful Wednesday because we're going to do some dancing following the wedding. So if you'd like a leg up on learning a couple of routines, come on Wednesday night and we'll go through a couple of the ways to participate in the line dance at the reception. You see in the bulletin this morning, and as I've already mentioned, we are dedicating the Rosa Scott window. You can read the insert in the bulletin to see some of the history that is there. If you don't know where it is out the door to your left, to my right, and then to the left. It is opposing or facing the Berkey window. The front of the bulletin is a picture of it, but it does not do justice. The map is not the territory. Go look at the window. But I thought the most appropriate way to dedicate this is to note the connection in this church that this class has had. So I'm going to ask, if able, if you would be willing to stand, if you were or have been a member of the Rosa Scott class. If you don't mind, I'd like for you to stand. If you have or had a family member, or you had a very close relationship with somebody, one of the Rosas, one of those who've joined the church triumphant, but if you knew someone well and you were well connected to them in the Roses, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you ever taught the Rosa Scott class, I will invite you to stand. These are those who have been a part of the Rosa Scott legacy, and it continues to be a part of this congregation. Listen now to this dedication of the window. May God richly bless the legacy of the Rosa Scott Sunday School class. Indeed, let us continue in the spirit of 2 Timothy 2:15, studying to show ourselves approved by God. And let all God's people say, Amen. You may be seated. Let us continue in worship with our prayers of the people for the morning.
All across our country, and perhaps even around the world, folks are remembering, especially this day, the events of 9/11, 10 years ago. And I think it is significant that this anniversary has fallen on a Sunday, a day of resurrection. Let's pray together. O God, intercede for us with groaning too deep for words. You are the lover of the unlovable, and your voice soothes the trembling of the lowly. Your fingers grasp the hands of the desperate and the lonely. How strong is your love. How your arms long to pull us close in your embrace. Those whose sorrow could weep there. Those who are weary, sleep. Those who are silenced could speak there. Those who are hungry, feast. And those who hate could find peace there. But we confess we resist your strong embrace. We cling to the world and the world's values. You ask us to break its grip, not by fleeing from it, but by staring it down, to dare the world with the mind of Christ, to lock arms with brothers and sisters to resist its power. O God, grant us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and love. O God, just as you are the lover of the unlovable, you are the forgiver of the unforgivable. Receive us into your presence. Lift us from our knees that we might see you face to face. We know we have no right, but you give us all rights. We know we are not equal, but you love us equally. Let we who have been forgiven muster the strength to forgive. Let we who have found mercy find the compassion to be merciful. Let we who have yielded to peace yield our pride to be peaceful. Let we who have looked into the eyes of your love see the way to be loving. O God, you are the creator of everything beautiful, everything good, everything eternal. And we know that nothing and no one is ever lost forever, but continues in your presence. Change us. Change us so we will forgive before being forgiven. Change us to be merciful before seeking mercy. Enter us and dwell within us, that all the world may know who walks its roads and loves its people. And, O God, hasten that coming kingdom where peoples will no longer be at peoples, where the lion and the lamb will, in fact, lay down together, and we will all know peace. Hear us as we pray together the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The offertory anthem, Song of Peace, by Arnold Sherman, was written after and for, in remembrance of the Oklahoma City bombing. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
conclusion of our service will be the singing of our final hymn, How Firm a Foundation. It will also be our doxology. Let us stand and sing together, How Firm a Foundation is Laid for Your Faith in God's Excellent Word.
Friends, go in peace, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you this day and forever. Amen.